Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now, our green and gold analyst, Paul Emig, on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey, Bill. The Lambeau Field, everything up here is closed. It's about 15 inches of snow outside, but I am otherwise doing well, and I hope you are warmer and having a good time.
We are a little warmer, although down here the prediction of the end of the world will happen tomorrow, as they have already shut down all the schools in anticipation of a little bit of rain, ice, and snow. They have shut down all governmental buildings as well, and they have told anybody in any business here in the city of Atlanta that if you are a non-essential employee, you should stay home tomorrow. So we're hoping it's a clean shot in getting up tomorrow morning to come into Radio Row, but we'll wait and see.
Okay,
so
nice.
That being said, yeah, it's kind of nuts down here. We're going to have Matt LaFleur on tomorrow. If you could ask Matt a question, what would it be?
Well, Bill, this isn't going to be my question, but did you see this this report earlier this morning? Do you know who told Matt LaFleur that Matt LaFleur was the next head coach of the Packers?
I think it was Adam Schefter I read, correct?
It was. Now, if that's not like next level 21st century stuff, I don't know what is. I would love to know from Matt LaFleur, especially as you're going to get like a one-on-one sort of intimate 15 minutes or whatever it might be. He did something, Bill. He said something in his interview that, as Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst interviewed, what was it, a total of 11 coaches and candidates?
Yep.
Obviously, there was something that resonated, that Matt LaFleur said, that resonated with Gutekunst and Murphy. And I would love to know what Matt LaFleur's best guess is. Maybe he knows. Maybe he was told. Maybe Murphy and Gutekunst said, hey, you know, it was when you said this that we were really sold. But if that didn't happen, what would Matt LaFleur's best guess be that made him stand out so differently than previous NFL head coaches? You know, guys like Caldwell that we had talked about, then candidates like Josh McDaniels, and what's the head coach that just went to the Jets from the Dolphins? His name is escaping me. Adam Gase. What I would love to know from LaFleur's perspective, what do you think went so well in your interview that you immediately rose to the top of the list and that they hired you without a second interview? That would be on the peak of my curiosity level.
So, you know, it doesn't matter, I guess, that Adam Schefter broke the news to him?
Well, that part doesn't matter. It's just you know, one of those wild fascinations of this day and age of reporting. But I think the other part, the question that, you know, the second thing that I was talking about, that to me is really interesting, because I think it would give us a glimpse into the way that Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst are running this franchise, and the things that obviously pique their curiosity and pique their interest. Because, you know, you sit down with 11 head coaches to interview them over the course of, what, 4 or 5 days? I realize I called well, and it was like they were the previous week, but there was obviously something. And again, the Schefter thing was just an aside, but the piece about, you know, well, you said, what would my question be? The question being, you know, what do you think you said or did or showed that separated you? I think that gives a glimpse, more than a glimpse, into maybe what it is that the Murphy-Gutekunst regime find important in their head coach. And I think it would be really fascinating to know what LaFleur's best guess is as to what that was.
Which is a great question, because I the only thing we got to go on is when Mark Murphy said that it was a conversation, it wasn't an interview.
Yep.
It was the guy that they felt comfortable with almost immediate.
And I get that, and I understand that, like, that makes somebody who you would want to work with and want to talk to. But there's a big difference between someone who interviews well and someone who does a job well. So I'd love to know more layers, I guess, because I do agree. Because, again, when that press conference happened with Murphy and Gutekunst and LaFleur sitting at the, you know, the top of the Lambeau Field media auditorium, what percent of the words do you think were said that day by Matt LaFleur? A very small percentage, because Mark Murphy did so much of the talking. So I think it's just more of digging deeper into, you know, what Murphy and Gutekunst are looking for in their head coach. And, you know, it's great that it was a conversation, but there must have been more than that. I would have to assume there was more than that to it.
You would think so. Now, to be honest with you, we don't have much more insight than that, but you would have to – obviously, you're starting with a resume, and then after that, you're going, okay, what is your philosophy? And if immediately you're put at ease by what it is that guy's talking about, and you know he's mm-hmm. already got the chops to be there, otherwise you're not interviewing him. So if he starts talking to you and you go, this guy's relatable, he's conversational, we've got a $170 million quarterback that, you know, we need to get on the same page, he's a disarming guy, he's a player's guy, he's an accountability guy, all the things that your, quote, leadership committee asked for, if that's all in the interview and you're comfortable, then I, you know, like Mark Murphy said, when they left her, they already knew they had the guy. They just wanted to go home and sleep on it to be sure. And before they even woke up, you started getting text messages from each other saying, I woke up, I can't sleep. This is the guy. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's the only way I can explain it is it's kind of like when you go on a date and you meet a girl, you know, and there's
love
some
at first
people.
Sight, huh?
Well, there's either love at first sight or you have a great time and you can't believe it's this good. So you go home and you think to yourself, okay, well, let me think about this tomorrow, see if there's, like, you pick it apart in your brain, and you wake up the next day going, man, I can't wait to talk to that person again. Maybe that's what it was like.
Yeah, and I think that the question now that nothing you can ask Matt LaFleur tomorrow, but something that we will find out about him, you know, especially in training camp as players get to know him and as he speaks to the team more, is something that I believe it was Pete Doherty wrote about a couple weeks ago, and that is, you know, Matt LaFleur is not your old school outspoken, loud, rah-rah head coach. He, you know, he's not going to be Mike Pettine. You know, where Pettine came in last year, and what did Aaron Rodgers and other players talk about? Like, Pettine came in and just owned the room. He spoke to the players. He got through to them. It was just like a very – and you remember Rodgers' comment about it. It was just like that room, that team hadn't had somebody kind of have such an impactful speech in – recent years, if not longer than recent years. And I don't, it seems from at least the personality we've seen from Matt LaFleur publicly that he's not that guy. And as I recall reading Pete Doherty's article, as he interviewed other, you know, executives around the league and said, can a soft spoken, underspoken, whatever you want to call it, coach resonate with a bunch of guys who, you know, are sitting in the gym lifting weights and, you know, eating steak and just, you know, taking care of their body. Can a soft-spoken, articulate conversationalist resonate with some of those guys? And, you know, it seems, you know, recalling the article from a couple weeks ago, the responses that Doherty got were very, you know, split as to how that could work. But I think that's a really important thing is how do you resonate with a bunch of guys if you're not that, you know, that sort of loud rallying cry, unifying awesome speech in the locker room guy. You're going to obviously have to get through them in different ways, and it'll be really fascinating to see how Matt LaFleur does that. Again, unless the personality that we saw in the press conferences is not like the full scope of who he is as a coach or as a person, but it seems like he's going to be a much less verbose and, like, you know, talkative type. He's going to have to get through the players in different ways, and it'll be really fascinating to watch that play out.
By the way, we're talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Before I let you go, Paul, so down here there seems to be a lot of questions about – now, nobody has a consensus on this, but there's a lot of questions about the number one thing that we all ponder in Wisconsin, and that is the coachability of Aaron Rodgers. Now, I know Aaron probably listens to some of this stuff, even though they say they don't. They hear about it, you know, that there's a lot of questions down here about his coachability. I mean – I was talking to a couple of people earlier today, and since they haven't said it on the air, I don't want to use names, but that are in the game. And they all have the same question. Even JerMichael Finley said, look, he's coachable to a point, but if you overcoach him, he's going to buck and go the other way. JerMichael Finley said there were times that Aaron would get the play call and even look at the guys in the huddle and go, really? And then just run something else. And then in the film study room, McCarthy would say, didn't we call this play? And Finley said the one time he said to McCarthy, well, we just run with 12 calls. So we know that this isn't just this past season. This is right. There's a history here. So what would you believe to be the – if you're talking about a younger guy who's got a good philosophy, But I guess there's going to be a trial and error period and approach as to how they're going to make this all work. And most here in the business say it's a 2-year to 3-year process. Now, Mike Florio was very optimistic because he says, you know, hey, look, with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you can turn it around immediately. But realistically, how quick do they turn it around?
Well, I completely agree with that comment. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you can turn it around immediately. And if you're wondering where Aaron Rodgers' head is at, I saw something on Instagram where Davante Adams was down at the Pro Bowl. And, you know, he's talking about how Davante Adams is going to be back at the Pro Bowl again next year and make this an annual tradition. And Aaron Rodgers posted something to the effect of, don't count on it, pal, because you're going to be busy next year, because AKA you're going to be getting ready for the Super Bowl. So, I mean, if you're wondering where Rodgers' head is at in late January, he's not looking at this as a 2-to-3-year learning curve. He's looking at this as a, you know, buckle your seatbelts because it's going to happen in 2019 type of year, which is great. I mean, again, we always talk about the leadership qualities of Rodgers, and, you know, and is he good at it, great at it, bad at it, somewhere in the middle in terms of leadership. And I think that's a really cool, encouraging little anecdote. But, you know, Rodgers had the same coach for all but, you know, the first year he sat on the bench behind Favre. And McCarthy comes in the next year. He spent 2 years as the backup, spent a decade playing for McCarthy. You know, I think too much about the coachability of Rodgers has to be used in the context of he's only had really one NFL head coach, one NFL play caller. I guess he did have Tom Clemens for 3/4 of a season 4 or 5 years ago, but it was always the Mike McCarthy offense. And so now this will be an important and I would say very pivotal part of Rodgers, I think, legacy in terms of how people talk about him is how quickly can he get on the same page with Matt LaFleur? Is he going to do the same kind of things, changing the play at the line of scrimmage like Mercedes Lewis talked about from the 2018 season, like you said, Finley talked about from the years that those two guys were together? It's an important step because, you know, if you're week 3, week 4 of the season and you're already having, you know, that at the line of scrimmage disregard for the play call, that's going to set a really bad tone. But I would guess, I would speculate that I don't think that's going to happen here. I don't think Matt LaFleur would have been hired. I don't think, again, this goes back to your ask, what question would you ask LaFleur when you interview him tomorrow? You know, it had to have been something that Rodgers isn't going to walk all over him, that there's going to be enough respect, enough information about the offense that's going to work with what Rodgers wants to do as well, that's going to really make Rodgers his best. So I think this is a quick turnaround thing, Bill, and I would be really surprised, really, really surprised if the changing the call at the line of scrimmage, the disregard for the call that came in, is going to happen, you know, in the early stages of the LaFleur-Rodgers relationship. Now, things aren't going well, you know, and it's week 10 and they're 4-6 or something, you know, sure, maybe Rodgers gets a little bit antsy and starts to do that kind of stuff, but I think you're going to see a good soldier out of Rodgers. I think that they hired a guy that will make him think on an intellectual level, and I think it would go, again, I don't think LaFleur would have got this job if Murphy and Gutekunst didn't think that, number one, above all else, that LaFleur would be able to get through to Rodgers and get him to respect him right out of the gate.
Paul, good stuff as always, and we're going to go ahead and chat later in the week, but we will talk to you again from down here in Radio Row, okay?
Yeah, sounds good, Bill. Thanks. Have a great
weekend. Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Greenwood analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.